Taylor Camp. It's the name of Kauai's hippie community in the 1960s. A documentary about it has now been updated and renamed. It debuted on the Garden Isle and now heads to the Big Island. We talked to the filmmaker about the edge of paradise, John Werheim.
There are Taylor campers in Honolulu, of course, Kauai, Big Island, Maui. Yeah, they're all over Kauai and all over the world we're discovering. We're really shaking them out of the bushes with the film and the book and all the publicity we're getting. It's pretty amazing.
So tell us now, you folks have recut this, remastered it. What got you going on this?
Well, we thought we finished the film in 2011. And we did it in standard def. So we released it in standard def 2011, and it got rave reviews. I don't know if you saw that at the Hawaii Theater then, but we filled the Hawaii Theater up twice, and we had a line around the block. I think it wrapped more than around the block. So it did really well, but it was in standard def, and that really limited our market. And the cost of converting to high def back then was prohibitive. So we just thought, okay, we'll kind of fall back on DVD sales. Book sales were good, and we're done. But the film really wouldn't let us go, you know, even though we wanted to let it go. And we've had so much publicity. And, you know, we don't have a publicist, and we don't do PR. But, you know, since then, we've had just an avalanche of unsolicited media attention. I don't know if you've seen the Huffington Post article, you know, that was 2 million plus views and shares. It's been in Smithsonian, London Daily Mail, Slate, BuzzFeed, et cetera, et cetera. And the thing that really kind of shook some people out of the bushes for us is that we've had print articles, as well as all the blogs, across the U.S., but in England, France, Germany, Spain, Brazil, Japan, and, you know, it's all translated into these languages. And, you know, we've now got over 20 million magazine, blog, and social media views, and the film's been translated into German. We've got a contract on Spiegel TV for 3 years. So as a result of all this new material came to us. People said, oh, you know, and we knew that we hadn't told the whole story. You know, but we just gave up. You know, we told the story that we had because we decided very early that we were not going to use a narrator and that the story would be told by the Taylor campers, by their neighbors, by the people of Kauai. And we just couldn't find some of these people who were really integral to the story. You know, like the Vietnam flight surgeon vet who was became the doctor at Taylor Camp and delivered the first baby, you know, the guy who started the free store and started the restaurant and got busted selling hashish to a federal narcotics officer and then ran off with his 3-year-old daughter to start a cocaine smuggling big business in South America. I mean, they're just crazy stuff. It just came out of the woodwork. Plus, surf footage, people started sending us this incredible surf footage and old photographs, and we just decided, okay, it's not letting us go.
Well, I know that there is another film that I thought was remarkable. It was called 7 Up, and they went and they documented kids at age 7, got them, you know, when they were older, 21, 28.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I can see that you could use that same concept going back to the original residents of Taylor Camp. Like, whatever happened to Elizabeth Taylor's brother?
He moved to, he got sort of fed up with the whole situation, and shortly after Taylor Camp was closed by the state, and I don't want to tell the whole story on that, because it's the great conclusion of the film. Anyway, Howard... The government put him through a lot, and he just left Kauai after that and moved to Taos, New Mexico, where he still lives.
I can imagine, though, some folks maybe, you know, don't want to be found.
That's Howard Taylor. He doesn't want to be found. You know, he's a very private, you know, maybe the exact opposite of his sister. Very great guy, sort of a libertarian, you know, a lot of compassion. That's why he originally bailed these people out of the county jail. And a wonderful artist, just a great person. And, you know, that was my introduction to Taylor Camp is when I first moved to Kauai in 1970, I lived with Howard and his family. He had a little guest house, A-frame, in his backyard, and suddenly there are these people coming over wanting to borrow tools, and then I, well, you know, who are these long hair hippie types and these surfer guys? And actually, once in a while, some of them, you know, Howard had over for dinner, and so that was my introduction to Taylor Camp, Howard Taylor and his family.
I think, you know, it's just so intriguing just to find out what these people are doing now. I mean, like you said, some live on Kauai, some are on the neighbor islands, some are here on Oahu.
Yeah. Well, that is what the film is about. It's a then and now film, and we go back to then, you know, the late 60s, early 70s on Kauai, and what happened, what life was like. And we really used Taylor Camp sort of as a vehicle to tell the story of Kauai and the state of Hawaii, but more specifically Kauai, during a time of incredible transition, just phenomenal transition. And it was a transition, and it was that moment, that transition that allowed Taylor Camp to happen. Now, there's a bigger story here. You know, it's the whole, you know, crazy 60s, 70s, hippie rebellion movement that was not just in America, but I mean it was worldwide. It happened everywhere. It even happened in China. You know, I mean, the Red Guards were basically crazy hippies. You know, it would be the Red Guards were like if Nixon armed the Black Panthers and the Weather Underground, because that's exactly what Mao did and said, okay, destroy your colleges and shoot your professors. And it could have gotten really ugly in America, except the government wouldn't let it get ugly. And so what was all our alternative? Peace and love, or get your head broke.
Well, when I saw the trailer, just love the music. That's my music.
Yeah, we worked on the music a lot. And it took a tremendous amount of negotiation to get the music, to get it licensed.
I bet.
It was tough. It was very expensive, but we didn't want to scrimp on the music. We thought it was we didn't want to use anything that was digitally produced. You know, we wanted that sound that, you know, it's just different. You know, the music that was done back in that era sounds different, and it is different. And we wanted the music to transport people emotionally.
It does.
Back to that time and thinking, oh, I was doing that and I was there and this is what I was feeling, and I think it works.
Talk about the change in title, because you went from Taylor Camp to The Edge of Paradise.
I think the reason why things are really going well for us is we've got an executive producer. You know, I'm the writer and producer my friend and colleague Bob Stone from Maui. So here I am on Kauai, right? I mean, as far as filmmakers, it's the end of the earth. And my partner, Bob Stone, he's on Maui. And we don't know anything. We don't know anybody, you know, but we made this film that's got all this attention. So we realized we needed help, and we got an executive producer, you know, out of L.A., Hollywood, who really gave us a lot of guidance to the edit. But he told us, you know, Taylor Camp is a historic event, just kind of well-known, especially among older people, not just on Kauai, but in Hawaii. But he said nobody knows it. Nobody knows what it is in the rest of the world. So, and then we've got this theme. You know, it's not paradise, it's the edge of paradise. Because you never get, you know, and that's also the opening quote from Marcel Proust that we use in the film, and that is, the only true paradise is a paradise lost. And this is sort of the After the Fall, being driven from the garden theme of the film. And so that's why, you know, it went from Taylor Camp to the Edge of Paradise. And it's got some different meanings on different levels. But part of it is, you know, of course, utopia, paradise. You never quite get there. But another thing is, you know, this Taylor Camp was right on the edge of the Nepali coast in the Kal Lao Trail. And for a lot of people, that's the edge of paradise. And so that element is there, too. But this whole thing, you know, this paradise theme, and a lot of people talk about that. I mean, that word is used a lot in the interviews, not just by the Taylor campers, but even by local people. And it would really be easy to spin this film into surfer hippie propaganda. You know, I mean, we could have edited it that way, but especially with the new edit and the new interviews we got, we went into a much deeper, darker side of Taylor Camp, which we thought was very important. Now, we tried to be balanced in the first film, but we didn't quite have all the material we needed. And, you know, most of the Taylor Camp, I guess we call them alumni, you know, the former residents, they refer to their time at Taylor Camp as the best days of our lives. I mean, that we hear that over and over again. But, you know, this is the earth, you know, human beings. Just like any other community, Taylor Camp had had the good and the bad. And it represents, a lot of what happens in Hawaii. A lot of people move to Hawaii running away from something. And that's a theme throughout this Taylor Camp film. That something is usually themselves. And it was no different at Taylor Camp. You know, many people went there expecting the place to heal them. You know, not just physically, but psychologically. And it's understandable, right? Clothing optional, pot-friendly, tree houses on the beach, and one of the most beautiful beaches in the world, gateway to the Nepali coast, Kal Lao, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, I'm going to go there and be happy. Of course not, you know, especially if you're running away from yourselves. So some people just thought that they'd hop out, get off the plane, or move over from Honolulu, and or, you know, the south side, wherever they're coming from. And they were kind of like expecting a faith healing, you know, without really doing the kind of work that requires, that we all require spiritually. So, you know, it's like thinking you can get in shape without exercising. You just show up and everything's going to be fine.
Right.
You know?
Well, I can't wait to see it when it comes to Honolulu. You plan to screen it anywhere else on the mainland?
Oh, yeah. We've been actually, we've screened at the Sedona Film Festival, standing room only, just a great crowd. I think the next festival is Byron Beach. And so it's being screened from Australia to Tel Aviv. You know, it's happening.
That was John Wareheim, the force behind the film. And after four sold-out screenings on Kauai, The Edge of Paradise travels to the Hilo Palace this week for Friday through Tuesday screenings. And as you heard, that film is described as the story of a pot-friendly, clothing-optional treehouse community at the end of the road on Kauai.